so good to us. Well, it is my pleasure tonight to introduce our speaker to us. As you may know, this summer at our Missouri District Conference, two members of the APC family received their minister's license. One of those we heard from last week, Brother Adam Dennis, Reverend Adam Dennis, who did an excellent job teaching us the lessons to learn. A lovely lecture, if you see what I did there with the L's. All right. This week, we will hear from the other individual to receive their minister's license, Dr. Nicole Dales. Absolutely. Both of these have made a significant choice by yielding themselves to the call of God. And here at APC, we affirm that call and we receive them as the ministers that they are. So would you help me welcome, for the first time as a licensed minister, Reverend Nicole Dales.
Well, I'm excited to be here with y'all tonight. I'm thankful to be here, but I will admit that I'm just as shocked as you are that I'm up here. It was August 29th, 2019, when God called me to the ministry. It took me a week or so to process because honestly, I was so emotional trying to navigate why God would call me. And I could not figure that out. And I still haven't figured it out, but here I am standing as a sinner saved by grace. And God, who has chosen to use me, and I'm not perfect, but I'm thankful that God doesn't just only call the perfect, but he looks for those who have a willing heart. So I'm here tonight to come and deliver the word to you. But before I do that, you know, you always have to say stuff in the beginning, right? Okay, so I've got a few things I have to say, and then we'll keep going. The first thing is my dad and mom are in Florida. Yeah, they chose the beach over me tonight. So, Mom and Dad, this shout out is for you. I love you, and I know that wherever you're at, maybe on the beach or wherever, you're praying for me. And I wouldn't be standing here without your love and support. So thank you. I also want to thank and just say how much I love my precious husband and daughter and son. They have been such a major support to me in my life. And this year has been kind of wild for me because, as Amber said, I finished my doctorate. I became a reverend, and I think there was something else in there, but to be honest, I don't remember what it was. But they have been my biggest support, and I'm thankful for them. I also want to thank Pastor Williford and Sister Williford and all of you, my church family, for loving me and supporting me. I have been here for 40 years and y'all still like me. So many of you have watched me grow up, and you've made an investment in my life, and that investment that you have made in me, is priceless. So I thank you for doing that, for encouraging me, for cheering me on, and for covering me in prayer. So here I am. I'm hoping that something I say tonight, as you have encouraged me in my life, I want to be able to help and encourage you through God's word that he has given me. So the title of my message is, There is Hope. I almost thought Amber was going to start preaching for me, and I was like, okay, go ahead, girl, you got this. But all of my scripture is going to be embedded in my message, so we'll just kind of discuss them as we go along. But first, before we do that, I want us to lift our hands up and ask God to move in our service tonight and to touch our hearts and lives, whether it's someone here or whether it's someone listening online. I just want him to move. So let's lift our hands. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for this day. I thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to be in your presence. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given us, Jesus, to serve and to honor you. And right now I ask that your anointing and your touch would be in the service. And I pray, God, that you would anoint and use me. And I pray that you would anoint and use the others. And I ask, God, that you will do a change. And I pray that you would touch hearts and lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we all know that 2020 has been an eventful year, to say the least, from pandemic to racial tension, to the anticipation of the election. And I'm not sure, is Nevada still counting votes? I don't know. But the list could go on and go on and go on. It just doesn't seem to let up. People everywhere are stressed out. The news shows that. Suicide rate reflects a heightened increase, and drugs are becoming more prevalent and more prevalent and more legalized because people can't deal with the pressure of today's society. So here we all, in the midst of it all, and even the church, trying our best not to be consumed and to not look at all this stuff that's going on and get kind of discouraged, and we're just still standing here, and we're doing the best that we can during these unprecedented times. Yet even in the church, we see marriages being attacked. We see addiction, we see depression, and we see hopelessness, and we find ourselves wondering if we will ever be able to stand strong in the midst of all this chaos. But I've come with a message for you tonight, and my message is God sees you, God loves you, and He knows exactly where you are at. We're living in a time where we aren't sure what's going to happen from day to day. To be quite honest, in 2020, aliens could jump from the sky, and we think, oh, that's normal, because everything is happening, right? Our world seems unsettled, stressed out, and I'm not trying to stress you out, but it's just reality. I come from the mental health field. I know what's going on out there, right? So people are stressed out. Everybody's searching for answers. But although we're living in a time of uncertainty, I've never felt God so close as I do now. It's almost like the crazier it gets around me, the more His presence starts coming in and the more He starts moving in lives, and I can see Him moving in everybody's lives. But the more it gets crazy out there, the stronger He becomes. The other day, I was in my laundry room. And folks, let me just tell you, doing laundry is not a spiritual experience in our house. In fact, it's completely opposite of that. But I was in the laundry room, the baby was asleep, and I had The Blessing On by Carrie Job. And it was playing in the bedroom on Alexa. I had been subconsciously praying and, you know, praying to God, meditating on Him, whatever you want to say. I wasn't travailing. Maybe I was because of all the laundry I had to do, but I really was, and I was just simply focusing on Him. And it seemed like out of nowhere, God walked into that room. It was like He had just been hanging out there with me. And it was like I could physically bump right into Him. And I was so overwhelmed by His presence that all I could do was make it back to my bedroom. I fell on my knees, and I cannot tell you how long I prayed there. And I cried out to God because of His presence. I don't even know what He was doing in my life at that point, but I do know it doesn't really matter. I just want to be with Him, and He just wants to be with me. And that's really all that matters in this life, is that we're right with Him. I was just doing an everyday task, and my Father showed up. Why? Because He loves me. Because He can't get enough of me. So He'll interrupt my life just to be near me. And what I'm so thankful for is that we don't have to be super spiritual to find Him. We don't have to be perfect to find Him. All we have to do is acknowledge Him, and He'll show up. Some of us have hurts. Some of us have sicknesses. We battle with emotional issues such as depression, suicidal thoughts, and fear. And we wonder if we'll ever get a break. If God really sees us. If we'll ever be able to feel freedom or love again. We feel like nobody around us understands us, and we feel alone. But I'm here to tell you tonight that your Father sees where you're at. He's walking with you, and He states in His word in John 14:18 that He will not leave you comfortless. He will come to you. There's hope for your depression. There's hope for your healing. There's hope for your child to come back to God. And I felt that so strong as I was writing these notes. There's someone here. There's someone listening online. You've been praying that your child would come back to God, and in the name of Jesus, that is going to happen. I read a quote by Lou Giglio. He's a pastor of a mega church in Atlanta, Georgia. And it said, The enemy is amazingly proficient at telling you who you're not and what you can't do. But God, thank you, Jesus, for his word. He is constantly telling you who you are and what you can do. And God's word says in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. There's nothing you can't hide from God. He knows you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He sees the struggle. He sees the hurt that you're going through and that you're facing, and he wants to move in your situation. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I'm sure we could all quote it, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper, not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And God's motives are pure motives. His word is true. When he says he plans to give you hope, you believe he's going to give you hope. He's someone you can trust. You may have been hurt by someone in the past, by something they've done, or maybe by something that they've said, but God's not like that. He's not going to hurt you. You can believe it in his word when he says, I'm working for you. You may be struggling with life and feel like you can't see hope in your future from the addiction, the heartache you've been dealt, the depression that's been sucking the life out of you. But I'm here to tell you that there is hope in our Savior. It's in his word in Philippians 4:13 where it says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Don't give up. When you feel like you can't keep going, look to him to be your strength. Find confidence in him and let him do the work. And don't be afraid to reach out to those around you. That's why we're here. And what I really love about, what I really love about Celebrate Recovery is that those in Celebrate Recovery and those of you here, we have begun to have the biggest bond that we could ever have because we know that we are there for each other. Just like I know several of you have friends here and you're here for each other, but I'm thankful for them. But let him do the work and don't be afraid to reach out. In Romans 8:31, it says, if God is for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? These two verses alone, Philippians 4:13 and Romans 8:31, they should alone give you confidence that you're not on this journey by yourself. God is for you and he is with you. You will gain strength and defeat the lies of the enemy is telling you that you are not good enough. So when you hear that come to you and the enemy say, hey, there's no way you can do this. Nicole, you can't get up there and stand and talk to these people. Who do you think you are? I'm just saying, you know, I'm really nothing. But you know what, God? But you know what, saying that's okay. God's got this. Not me. Right? So when the enemy comes along and tells you that you can't do something or that you're not going to be able to make it, it doesn't matter what he says. It matters what God says. We have ex-drug dealers who are now on fire for God, bringing others to him. Couples whose marriages have been restored when it looked like restoration was impossible, being used by God. Individuals who were so depressed that within minutes from taking their life, but God stepped in and said, no, not him. Not him. I have plans for him. I have plans for a future for his life. And now they are pillars in the church. You are enough, and there is hope, and there can be restoration. Or maybe you're feeling defeated because the enemy continually tells you lies that your lost son or daughter who has fallen away from God will never walk through those doors. How does that saying go? It's the one popular today. Not today, Satan. You're not getting our kids. You're not getting our family. You're not getting our marriages. You're not getting it because we have a promise in who God is. We have a promise in what his word says. Blake Kessler came in to Celebrate Recovery last night and he did a phenomenal job. He and Amanda are doing a great job and a great work in Cuba for the kingdom, but it wasn't always like that for Blake. Where he was sold out for Christ. I'm sure you could ask his parents and his sister, and they'll tell you it wasn't easy watching their son or their brother addicted to drugs and wonder whether or not he would come home that night. But they didn't lose hope. They prayed for 8 years. And one Sunday, Blake walked through those doors. And when he walked through those doors, he never thought about going back to the world again. Why? Because he had a mom, and he had a sister, and he had a dad, and he had family that were praying for him. So what I'm here to tell you is keep seeking God. You're not defeated, mom and dad. You may be tired. You may feel like you're defeated, but keep praying. Keep him first. Siblings, keep fasting, and friends, keep loving. God will give you the strength and will help you fight for their souls. There is hope. Don't give up. Your circumstances don't have the final say. Your doctor doesn't have the final say. God has the ultimate say over your life and your situation. We think about, in the Bible, we think about Joseph. He was hated by his brothers, thrown in a pit, wrongfully accused of having immoral conduct, forgotten in prison, but God looked at what seemed to be a bleak situation and he turned it. Job lost his livelihood, lost his family, lost his friends. He was all alone, but he didn't give up hope in his Creator. He looked to him. It was approximately 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with ocular histoplasmosis. Now I say histoplasmosis 5 times really fast. Okay, ocular histoplasmosis. So I'm going to explain to you what that is, and hopefully we'll catch this. But bottom line is, it's a disease that mimics macular degeneration. Raise your hand if you know someone who has macular degeneration, right? Runs in the family. Okay, so what it does is that it will destroy the central vision in your eye. I have it in my left eye, and in my left eye, I don't have central vision, and so basically they've said I'm legally blind in that eye. The good news is that my right eye takes over for my left eye. So if you see me in the parking lot, don't be afraid. I got this. Everything's good. I can see. I pretty much can see normal for the most part. But research does state that once it's in one eye, it will develop in the other eye. But what I found out is that it doesn't always matter what research says, and research doesn't always match what God's word says. You see, blind eyes were healed in the Bible, and deaf ears were healed in the Bible. So I could have taken the situation and completely panicked and said, but God, I am 35 years old. I have a child, and now I have a one-year-old, and here I am, and just freaking out. But I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I chose to have hope, and I choose to have hope. I choose to believe that he's in control. I walk into that retina doctor's office every time, and almost every time I say, God's got this. He's going to do a miracle in my eye, and he just sits there and grins at me. It doesn't matter what he thinks. I know. I believe. I said, we're praying, and he just nods his head. And you know what? He is doing a work. God is doing a work. I'm already beating the odds. The odds says I should have it in my right eye, but thank God I don't, right? I'm already beating what research says. And for a year, the cool thing is I haven't had to get a shot in my eye. So God's protected me. And what the doctor has said, I went there a couple weeks ago. He said, your eye has quieted, Nicole. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? He said, well, basically the disease has stopped growing and progressing. And I was like, I was in the middle of the office. Sometimes I just don't care, y'all. Some of you know my personality. I don't care. And I went, thank you, Jesus. And he just was like, kind of looked at me. But I was like, I probably scared him half to death. I don't care. I don't care because God's protecting me. It doesn't matter what the picture shows on that. Computer. It doesn't matter what it says. It matters what God says. And you see, here's what I believe. I have a connection to the one who created my eye. He's walking with me. He's taking care of me. And if he chooses for this disease to go into my right eye, then so be it. So be it. I might be as blind as a bat here on earth. You guys are going to have to help me out. But you know what? One day I'm making it to heaven because I have my hope in him. And when I see him, I'm going to see him clearly, face to face, looking at the one who saved my soul, looking at the one who gave me hope. I don't care what's going on around me. I'm searching and I'm keeping my focus on him. You see, my hope isn't what the doctor's saying, but my hope is in God. There are several of you here that have testimonies just like mine of how God worked in your life and in your situation. God is on the move. He's delivering hope, and he is ready to do a work. And if you're walking through a situation right now, just hold on, because hope is on the way. Deliverance is about to take place. Forgiveness is here. Healing is knocking on your door, and peace is entering into your circumstance. Jesus is here to do a work. And I know I'm done early, but I do feel like God has something planned for this service tonight. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to stand together, and in a moment, we're going to lift our hands up, and we're going to ask God specifically to do a work in our lives. And I want you to be extremely specific with him, because he knows what's going on, whether it's emotional healing, whether it's physical healing, whether it's a financial blessing or healing in your marriage, a loved one to come to God right here, right now. And those of you listening on watching online, I want you to do the same with us, because God is about to shift that circumstance. He's about to shift the situation that you're going through. You may be sad. You may be depressed. You may be afraid, but you know what? We know a God who heals depression. We know a God who takes away fear. We know a God who speaks life into us. Right now, Lord, I pray that you would enter your presence in this place, as I know it already is. God, you see every need. You see every circumstance. There's nothing that you don't know about, God. There's nothing that you haven't already begun to do a work in. And Lord, right now, I ask that you would touch hearts and lives. I pray that marriages would be restored, God. I pray that hope would be given to parents that need a hope in you. Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you would restore us. I pray that restoration would be in our lives, God. I pray, Jesus, that we would be renewed by your spirit, that we would be renewed by your hope, God, and help us to keep our focus on you. When things in this world are crazy and we don't know what to do, God, we look to you. We look to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, oh God. Thank you for the hope and the healing and the peace that is here in this room right now. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Why don't you avail yourself right now of that peace, of that hope, of that trust and that confidence in him. Let it be renewed in your spirit right now. Let it be renewed and rekindled in your heart and in your life, Jesus. We thank you. Thank you for the hope that you have given, oh God. Oh, there's a hope beyond this life. There is no hope in this life. Oh, but we look to you, oh God. You are our hope, oh Lord. We look to the eternal and not just to the physical, the temporal. We look to you. We choose to see beyond what is going on around us. And we look to you, Lord. Our eyes are upon you, Jesus. Our eyes are upon you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look at me, and you will see the answer to every question that you have. Look at me, and you will see the Prince of Peace. You will see the Almighty God, the God who is with you, the one who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you would ask or think. Look to me, not to your issue and not to solutions of this world, but look to me, and I will be, because I am your Savior, says the Lord. Come on, let's receive that right now, if you would. Let's look to him. He's inviting us
He said tonight through his messenger that there is hope, that there is peace, no matter what the circumstance looks like. God, we're looking to you right now, Jesus. We're lifting our eyes off of the problem. We're getting you in vision. We're getting you in focus, oh God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He has given us through his word tonight, through his word as we read it daily, he has given us another option than what we see in front of us physically. He's given us the solution. He's given us another opportunity, another way than just the one that may look natural to us. There is a supernatural way. There is a supernatural solution. Thank you, Nicole, for delivering the word of the Lord, for speaking to us his word that there is hope. We can lift our eyes from hopelessness and we can see hope, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. I love what she said. Cancer doesn't have the final say. COVID doesn't have the final say. God has the final say. God has the final word.